Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. And, David, we have a very special, an exclusive interview with one of the freed hostages of January 6th, 2021. I like to call him a political prisoner because of the illegality of the Biden administration.
Imagine that in America today, right?
Yeah, right. So why don't you go ahead and introduce him? You know him better than I do. I want to get to know him as we go through here.
I remember, you know, with all the chaos and mayhem from the previous stolen election, there was just a lot of stuff going on. And Pastor Bill Dunfrey out in Ohio was standing up. You know, he's a bold pastor. He preaches the word with strength and truth and righteousness. And, you know, he was standing against the atrocities that were performed that day. And they couldn't find anything on him. So they looked and looked and looked until they did. But he's going to tell you the whole story. So, Pastor Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, fellas. I appreciate you, David. I thank you, JD, for the opportunity to come and to share, you know, this 4 years of hell that the Department of Injustice. I want to say thank you very much for the opportunity to record straight and glorify Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we usually pray ourselves into the show, but that's your honor today. Would you do that for us?
Of course. Well, Father, we come, Lord, in Jesus' name, and we just want to say thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. I want to say thank you, Father, for your loving kindness that is ever before us, your mercies that are renewed each and every day. Father, we look back upon these last 4 years and the struggles and the fiery trials that we've been under, but you have been faithful through every step of the way, and we just say thank you. We want to say thank you for your providential hand upon President Trump to keep him alive and to place him in the presidency, Father, so that, Lord, that he would be in a position, Lord, to be able to begin to straighten out some of these injustices. And it began, Father, with that executive order of the pardons for the J-6ers. And we just want to say thank you. I want to thank you, Father, for this interview. I want to thank you in advance for your guidance and your direction, for the infilling of your Holy Spirit. And I just thank you, Father, for platforms such as this, where truth is able to be conveyed and the messages and the situations, the record set straight. In Jesus' name we ask you for everything. And amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, now, today, David can tell you, Pastor, I have a habit of jumping in. I'll ask them stupid questions from time to time. You know, what I do is I listen to the people. Because this is about you. This isn't about us. You know, we want your story, not my story or David's.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and be quiet today.
Yeah. So, you know, today I'm kind of going to let David guide us on this. And but anyway, the first thing I want to do. Yeah. Go ahead, David, and then I'll get
you. No, I was going to go ahead and start the questions. But what do you got?
What I wanted to do is I wanted to show this, first of all, because I want to get Pastor Dunphy's input as to how much of this is just pure crap and whether or not he ever dealt with Jack Smith, too. That's another question I got. But anyway, this is from the United States Attorney's Office of District of Columbia. And this is a it was issued just like this. Washington, an Ohio man, was sentenced to prison after he was previously found guilty of felony and misdemeanor charges relating to his conduct during the January 6, 2021 breach of the U.S. Capitol. You know, never mind, you were invited in. Anyway, his actions and the actions of others disrupted a joint session of the United States Congress convened to ascertain and count the electoral votes related to the 2020 presidential campaign. Now, Pastor, I took out your age and I took out your location there, but it says here that you were sentenced on September the 19th of 2024 to 30 months in prison, 36 months of supervised release, and ordered to pay a $10,000 fine and $2,000 in restitution by the U.S. District Judge Reggie B. Walton, that Judge Walton sentenced you to one felony offense of civil disorder and a misdemeanor offense of entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds. So, David, with that, I'm going to let you ask the questions there of what you think needs to come out of that after Pastor, if you will, tell us, is there any of that that's right, or would you like to elaborate on some of that?
Well, what I would say is this, is that they charged me with civil disorder. I'd like to say that I created civil order and not disorder. You know, my actions on the east side contributed to the fact that there was no violence, that there was, and that no one was attacked, and that that things in what I would deem to be in an orderly fashion. And then when you look at the east side, you can see that the steps, that the people gathered on the steps, and that you know, they went to the, there was the progression to the Columbus stores. And unfortunately, somebody did break a window, you know. Mm-hmm. That's tragic, but mm-hmm. I believe that the crowd dealt with that in itself. But for me, my objective with this was to get to the steps safely and orderly, such a way that there wouldn't be arrest and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. In fact, of the matter, one of the Capitol Police officers that I entered into engaged in conversation with him, asked him to, if he would, get us to the steps so that everybody would be able to get there safely and there wouldn't be any violence or any harm or mm-hmm. arrest like that. He led me to believe that he was going to try to do that. And you can see video. There's all kinds of videos showing just that. And while I'm waiting on him to, you know, to stay true to his word to the attempt of getting us there, then that's when things also on the backside of the barricade, you know, begins to become disruptive. And you know, people are impatient. They want to get to the steps and so on and mm-hmm. so forth. Mm-hmm. So you know, that there was a breach of the bicycle rack. I did push into the bicycle rack. Initially, it was a response. You know, I was on the wall just kind of taking a break from preaching. I'd preached for roughly 4 hours the gospel of Jesus Christ and calling our legislators, you know, to account and you know, and rebuking and admonishing and encouraging and so on. And when I was taking a break, there was a scuffle on the front line. And for whatever reason, I reacted to it. And I went to the front line, to the bicycle rack. And I was pushing into the bicycle rack. And it was obvious. But I had a conversation with this police officer, the Capitol Police officer that was there. And, you know, and he asked, come on, let's don't do this. At the end of the day, we all want to go home and everything else. And that's mm-hmm. when I entered into the with him concerning get us to the steps, you know, and you know, to get you know, there won't be any conflict that way. Mm-hmm. Then so, yeah, you know, as far as entering in, I never entered into the Capitol, never went into the Capitol, never intended to go into the Capitol. You know, my objective was solely to get to the steps of the Capitol building, because when I went there first thing in the morning, that I went there because, you know, Ezekiel 33 tells me that I'm a watchman on the wall, that I'm to be a watchman on the wall. Amen. And I'm to warn people of their sins and their iniquities, and, you know, to admonish them to turn, so that I myself then, you know, am not guilty of, you know, the consequences of their actions. So, you know, with everything that has gone on with COVID, with the tyranny, with the mandates, with the, you know, closing down the churches, everything else, and we dealt with the election, you know, and, you know, fraud and everything. You know, I went there for the sole purpose of preaching the gospel and you know, calling out the sin. So, but I intended to be on the steps of the Capitol mm-hmm. to be able to pray, be able to preach, and to be able to, hopefully, to be able to interact with our legislators as they come and go. And whenever I got there, you know, the bicycle racks had everything barricaded off and everything else. And I guess that, you know, for me, I always thought it was the people's house, that the people would have a right to be able to be mm-hmm. to the steps. Yeah. So my intention was to get to the steps, and, you know, and I tried to work it out with the Capitol Police officer to get there. And when you'll see video, that whenever I got to the steps, that that I turned, my hands are in the air, and I'm trying to, at that point, you know, to the crowd, that okay, we're here, mission accomplished, let's mm-hmm. go ahead and just where it ends. Mm-hmm. They got our message, as far as, you know, that we want our voices to be heard, that we're at the mm-hmm. steps. So therefore, but by that time the president was done speaking, the crowd was growing, things were happening on the west side and around the building and different things like that. And you know, folks that were coming, you know, they were, there was the motion to just continue up the steps. Mm-hmm. You know, so in essence, that's what it was. They tried to say initially, when never in the Capitol, you know, and it's the same way with the 12, you know, that I went there with the intention to obstruct official government business, stop the certification, and And I wanted the certification to be challenged, but the actual, you know, turning something over or you know, something, that's an absurdity. So,
Well, let me continue with this a little bit, because again, I'm pulling this directly from the court records, and I want you to be able to address this, because this is the kind of crap that they put out there, and I want to get the real story. But anyway, it says here that you illegally entered the Capitol grounds. I don't know how a citizen of the United States illegally enters our Capitol grounds when we are citizens of the United States and entitled to, as you said, be at the people's house. But anyway, it says here that you told the mob, and they call them a mob, I'm not, I'm calling them peaceful protesters, that this election has been stolen right out from underneath our noses, and it's time for the American people to rise up. Rise up, rise up. Today is the day in which it is that these elected officials realize that we are no longer playing games, that we are not sheeple, that we are just going to be corralled according to their whims and their wills. And it says later that you said, we will stand up for our country, we are standing up for our freedoms, we are standing up for our president, and today is the day that the elected officials, these senators and these congressmen, understand that we are not going to allow this to continue any longer. And then here at the bottom of it, it says, Mr. Police Officers, we want you to understand something. We want you to understand something. We want Donald Trump, and if Donald Trump is not coming, we are taking our house. We are taking our house. Now, that part of it sounds a little bit aggressive, but I'm going to let you explain that, because I'm sure there's more to the story than what they stuck in this report.
Of course, yeah. You know, so at the very beginning, that you know, first of all, that the first gives us the right to a redress, right, and to peacefully assemble. And there was never any intent in my actions or my motive or anything like that to be violent, to be aggressive, to try to force my hand or my will or anything like that upon any of the legislators or what was. You know, and so we take a look at, you know, our founding fathers, that what they have given us, you know, in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, that we have a right to allow our voice to be heard. Amen. And you know, when we see tyranny or tyrannical actions, and we see what we've seen over the course of the last several years, and especially, you know, since COVID, and then with the election, and all the while that our voices are being ignored, no one's listening to us. The election, the irregularities in the election aren't being challenged, and so on, then, you know, the assembly is this, the purpose is that you work for us, and we want you to hear our voices, you know, and how can you hear our voices if we're barred away from the Capitol grounds, from the building, to the point that our voices can't even be heard, you know, so that was what it's all about. It was simply let our voices be heard so that the people, so that our representatives will know that we are, you know, that you work for us, and that we come here with a list of grievances that need to be addressed, you know. And then and so realizing that, then, you know, I just simply intermingle with the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling out the sins, and, you know, for instance, some blood, abortion, homosexuality, marriage, everything. That has been legislated for that building, then you know, then what it amounts to is this: that you know, I confront the sins that are weighing heavily upon our nation, so that the judgments of God would be able to be laid upon us. I believe that that's my responsibility, not only as a pastor, but as a husband and a father and a grandfather, and for posterity's sake, I want to see our begin to align itself under the hand of God, so that we can have the blessing, not the curse, you know. And so that's what that's all about. And then the idea of give us Mr. Trump or else, Donald Trump or else, we're going to do this. What we've had to believe that Donald Trump, the president, after he was done speaking, that the president was going to come up to the Capitol, that he was going to lead the and we were looking. We're on the east side, we were looking for the president to come and to address the crowd. It wasn't about giving him an election or give us, you know, him with, you know, as the victor in the election. It was, everybody listen, the president said that we're going to march peacefully up to the Capitol building, and we were under the impression that he was going to come with us. And so we were anxiously waiting for him to be able to come. So give us the president, or give us our house. It's just simply this: if the president isn't coming, then allow us at least to be able to have access to the house so that our voices can be. It wasn't, you know, that decertified Joe Biden and changed the record or whatever it is, you know, even though I firmly believe that, obviously, that President Trump was the victor in the election and so on. It had nothing to do with, as they said in the court, that my purpose being there was this, is so that President would be installed as you know, the victor in the presidency. It was, he's coming up, he's leading the crowd, we want to see him, we want to hear from him, and we're waiting for him. If he's not coming, then allow us to have access to our house, to our voice to be heard. You know, so much spin and all this.
I got you breaking up just a little bit, Pastor. Not a lot, and your message is getting through. I just want to warn you in advance that there's a little bit of breakup there. But, David, I'm going to let you take it from here, and I'm going to try to work on some tech issues, and maybe I can straighten him out a little bit better, okay? But I'm going to turn it over to you.
Might be the phone.
Right,
maybe if you talk a little louder and a little closer, that'll be good. But we all know that, you know, they'll just take the words and they'll twist them. And when you're writing everything, they write it the way they want. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, and they'll leave out certain parts. I call it lost in text when they have, you know, lost in translation is out there. But we really lose a lot in text messaging. But I have a couple of questions, too. Like, I heard from some people that there was no cell phone service when you were there. Is that the case?
I really don't know. And the reason I don't know is this, is because I was just preaching. You know, I know that we got pinged, you know, that there was an Amber Alert, but to actually, I never had my phone out. I never recorded anything. I didn't take any, well, I did. I did record. When we were on the upper landing on the east side, the national anthem was being sang, and I did record that. And, able to record it without any problem. So at that moment, there was a cell phone service. I believe I recall where people said that it was being overloaded, if you would please, because of the amount of people that was there using their phones. But you know, I went there with the message.
Cool. Now, I also heard there was FBI shills all dressed as MAGA in order to start that. Did you happen to see certain people who were actually starting trouble, and it looked like they were on purpose?
You know, I went there first thing in the morning, and again, to be able to preach and to pray from the steps of the Capitol. I wanted to be able to interact with our legislators. We were barricaded to where we couldn't get there. And so I just had done routine preaching. What I mean by routine preaching is declaring, thus saith the word of the Lord, as he would have me to do that. But what happened, and, you know, I'm going to say probably around noonish would be my guess, probably around 1 o'clock, there was an individual that came over to my right side. And it was a young lady, and she jumped up on one of the pillars, and she had a bullhorn, and she started speaking to the crowd. And, "Men, you got to fight for me. Men, if you don't fight for me, I ain't going to have a country," and everything, you know. And so she was really, really speaking to the heart of the men, to the point that where if you follow the videos of my actions that at this period of time, that I wasn't even able to be able to get the attention of the crowd that was immediately around me because of the attention that she was getting. And I recall this, and I have not had this verified, so maybe it is a miscalculation on my part, but I recall that this individual had what appeared to be a leg holster on, but no firearm in it. And she was really, really inciting. She was really speaking to the heart of the men. And fact of the matter is that whenever the breach actually happened on the east side that moved us to the steps, you know, they tried to accredit where I was at as the actual breach that that took place, that was more or less tip of the spear that moved us to the step. It was actually where she was at that where it is that because I was waiting on the Capitol Police officer to get us access to the steps while she was, you know, men, you got to fight for me. And if you don't fight for me, we're not going to have a country. And then all of a sudden there was the breach of the bicycle racks. Then whenever that breach occurred, that's whenever, you know, the breach in front of myself came down. And that's when I sidestepped the bicycle rack and went to the steps. And you can see that when I was going to the steps, my hands were up. So, yes, there was. And she had another person with her. He was a big guy, physically a big guy, muscular. And he was wearing a cowboy hat that had the American flag on it. And her name became a reoccurring name throughout the J6 on the east side. And I don't know if it's her actual name or not, but you guys, if you followed it, you would know her by Megan Paradise. She was at the doors. You've seen her at the doors. You know, she was inciting when she was at the Columbus door and different things like that. So, but she was never arrested. You know, she was never, you know, for whatever reason, there was never any charges brought against her. And where she is today, I have no clue. But, you know, that was one of the obviouses that that stood out on the east side. And, you know, beyond that, there was guys that there was some individuals on the very front of the rack that came you know with a desire, if you would please, to kind of push the line a little bit and to see if they couldn't agitate something along the way. And so fortunately, you know, that for many hours they were held at bay, you know, because of the fact that, you know, that as the certification was being challenged, you know, on the east side, that we held it to everything, you know, listen, we got to allow the election to be challenged. That's what we're here for. The certification's got to be challenged. And so, you know, when Arizona was challenged and so on, that people would, you know, Arizona's being challenged. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying, that we created way more order. Fact of the matter is I say that, you know, that there was order because of the fact that I was on the east side and, you know, individuals were anxious to get to the steps. And I'm like, we got to allow this thing to play out and allow it. But when the other person came in, then, you know, that's one of the things that led to the breach. So,
okay, well, I'm going to ask you here, and you know, in the second half, I'm going to put up some information here about individuals that were granted clemency, not pardons, but clemency. And I want to ask whether or not you're familiar with any of them. But it sounds to me like that this person you're talking about, this Megan, I believe you said her name was probably an FBI plant or a government plant, mm-hmm. and was trying to get you guys to create a riot similar to what happens in Portland, Oregon, or other mm-hmm. locations where they were having
their peaceful
mm-hmm. protests where they were burning and destroying everything. I think they were trying to maybe rattle you guys and get you to that, and it didn't work. So anyway, yeah. David, go ahead.
Yeah, obviously there was in every bunch you're going to get a handful of bad apples, mm-hmm. And we understand that. And those, you know, I believe even Trump said that, you know, we're going to look into a few of these cases, mm-hmm. but the vast majority, they're literally just persecuting you because you're standing for truth and righteousness. Go ahead, you were about to say something.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about it, that the whole point of my prosecution, I firmly believe this, is that because they took my sermons, my sermon prior to going over, and then my Memorial Day sermon, and they become the bookends of the charges that they're bringing against me, mm-hmm. because, you know, I said on December the 31st, the Sunday before, you know, that I'm going to go to Stop the Steal rally, and we're going to allow our voices to be heard, and you know, and then you want to go with me. And then on Memorial Day, when I came back, you know, after on Memorial Day, that you know, that I alluded to the fact that we were at January the 6th, and you know, that we weren't going to allow our country to be stolen without our voices to be heard, and so on. And that what did that get us? You know, that they deemed us, you know, terrorists and looters, mm-hmm. and rioters, and everything else. And so
yeah, they're terrified of you. That's why. Mm.
Yeah, and exactly. And so the whole concept, the whole problem was this, is they did not like the message that, you know, and that's why they played a good portion of the word of the Lord that I preached early on, that they prayed, that they played it during the trial, in which it is that, I'm just making the folks aware of, and the legislators aware of, the fact that that we've become a socialist, communistic society, in which it is that, that our leaders are tyrannical, and it needs to be addressed. You know, we need to see to it that our voices are heard today. And it was always about voices. It was never about violence.
Oh, yeah.
It was never about capital or anything. And and there was another instance whenever I got to the steps, and and you can see where I was trying to stop the crowd, but the crowd became larger and larger, and then the Capitol police officers, they took and they sprayed the crowd with chemical agent, and that agitated the crowd. That moved things, got things moving up the steps, and then there were some flashbangs and a little bit of, and every time those things occurred, and there would be the act of slight aggression, to the point that where it is, how dare you do this to us? And there was never anywhere be violence or things, but ultimately we did get to the Capitol, the Columbus doors on the east side. I was at the doors on the east side. The doors were bolted shut. They were locked. They weren't going to open. And the way I know that is this, is because when somebody hit them, they said that they're locked. And so I just turned around and I was coming back down the steps. For me, mission was accomplished. I'm leaving. And I heard somebody beating on the glass of the what I suspected was the doors of the Capitol building. And I said to the police officer that had been with me for the duration, I said, if you allow me to go back up, then I'll see if I can't stop them from damaging or breaking the glass or damaging, the Capitol doors. But they literally gave me passage back to the Capitol doors. And whenever I got to the Capitol doors, I back in. I'm looking out across the plaza. I'm looking at the guy that is beating on the glass. He has a hood. He has a hoodie on. And, he's beating on the glass. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We hang on, Pastor Bill. We're at the end of this half of the show, so we want to continue that. That's going to be a lot of fun. So you guys, you need to wait and come back. Lord willing, if we're still here for the second half, because things are getting crazy out there. But just in case you haven't received Jesus yet and you didn't get to the second half, you might receive him now. And Lord willing, we'll be back. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. And again, we have the honor of having an exclusive interview today with one of the January 6th political prisoners, as our president calls them, hostages, and I believe that applies as well. And, Pastor, you must have thought that the country forgot about you. I mean, I'm just looking at this from what I would have felt, but maybe you didn't. You tell us.
Well, for 4 years, it felt like that we were alone as my family and I was going through this. Now we had, the church body with us, and we had folks locally that were tuned into it that were with us. But you know, when this Goliath is, he has you, he has his eye on you and has you in the crosshairs, if you would. That's a weighty situation right there, and it was very, very difficult. And but we had a lot of prayers, and we had folks to come around us and offer financial support along the way, and for that we're very, very grateful. But whenever I went to prison, and this is something that needs to be made known, when I went to prison, the body of Christ rose to the occasion, and they rallied around my family. They rallied around me. I got letters after letters after letters. We got people continue to show financial support, and it was encouraging to me. Without the prayers of the saints, as difficult as it was, it had been way, way more difficult. And every day I experienced the prayers of the saints and the grace of God that was being made manifest in my life. And my family would attest to the very exact same thing, that that we come away from here encouraged because of what the church and how the church rose to the occasion. Early in the process, it was very, very difficult because of the media, because of the lies, because of the spin. But thankfully, I'm in a community where people know me really well. And they know that that there can be no truth to these things that are being said, and that they stood with us and stood beside us and continue to lift our hands up. And we were able to overcome by God's mercy and by God's grace. Now here we are, and I'm thankful for this continued support that we receive.
And I'm going to say this in a specific way, and you're going to understand why. Did you have the good fortune to lose any friends over this?
The answer to that would be is that there are some people that that I would say that I would have considered friends, that used it as an opportunity, you know, because of their political persuasions, just to distance themselves and to walk away from. But for the most part, within my sphere of influence and my community and roundabout, is that everybody, you know, is God-fearing individuals who are able to think for themselves in spite of what the media says and to see things for what they are. And, you know, character speaks louder than words. And so they know me. And they know that these things cannot be true. Now, I got a lot of hate mail. I got a lot of hate emails. I got a lot of hate phone calls. You know, credit card company canceled me, you know, with the business and things of that nature. But all in all, I'm a blessed man because of the fact that the impact that it had upon me with my business and the ministry and within my community. You know, all in all, I think that we fared pretty well compared to what other J6ers have gone through. Now, it doesn't mean it didn't cost us. It didn't. If I compare myself to the others that have lost everything, all I can do is just sing the praises of the Lord for his goodness to me.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, hang on 1 second, David, and I'll turn it back over to you. I did notice, because I went to your church website, and there was Pastor Bill's back. I mean, it was right there on the front page, and I went ahead and listened to that sermon, and it was great. You know, and I think you laid out everything perfectly. And if you would like, this is up to you. If you would like to publicize your church a little bit and give information on that and where people can find you and join your congregation. Here's your chance.
Yeah, if you'd like to support, I mean, they went through a lot of stuff,
right.
And, you know, business is down. So I'd like you to give not only your church so people can make donations, but your business and what you do, and then share what everyone could do. So if they need your services, they could take advantage of that.
Amen.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate that. Well, the ministry is New Beginnings Ministries, Warsaw, Ohio. You can Facebook it. It's just New Beginnings Men. You know, you'll find us there. And you're right. The body of Christ has, the Lord has blessed us with remarkable individuals. But my wife and I planted a church back in 2001. And we knew that the Lord had called us to build up an army of believers who would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there isn't anything that anyone would have been able to said to have done or whatever that would have caused them to flinch, because they know myself, they know the character of their pastor, and they know that they know what the adversary, the devil, is up to. You know, and so we're located again at 331 East Church Street in Warsaw, Ohio. I'd love to have you stop in at any time, or you can follow us on Facebook, New Beginnings Ministries on Facebook. And then my business is Cross Builders and the Cross of Jesus Christ. It's named intentionally. The Cross of Jesus Christ has revolutionized my life. It's brought all the change in my life for what Jesus has done. And so, you know, when I started the business, again, back in 2001, the objective was not to build houses, but to build lives through construction. And the Lord has blessed it, so we're home builders. We do all things custom. We build custom homes. We do custom additions and the custom remodels. But we also do the roofing, siding, windows, doors, and everything else. And the Lord has blessed it tremendously. And we're located in Coshocton, Ohio, and 22471 County Road 18, Coshocton. And even when I was locked up for the 4 months in prison, I have a business partner who was raised on in the missions field in Honduras, and he is cut from the same cloth, and he knows. So he just stepped up to the plate and took on the extra load and continued to move the business forward. So I am a very blessed man for the people that God has in my life.
Amen. Amen. David, go ahead.
Amen. No weapon formed against us will prosper. I mean, when you have a blood contract with the King of Kings and you're his ambassador, he sends you to places for only one reason, because that's where he wants you to bring his message. And now, because of all of this, your message is going to reach the world. We're just this show alone is in over 200 countries. So, you know, praise God. Now, the Also, have you heard of the American Gulag Chronicles? Yes.
Yes, I okay. have.
And did you have a privilege to write any of those letters? I know there was a handful in there.
No, I did not. And they never, whenever they sentenced me, I came through the DC, holding facility, the transfer tank and everything else. But at that point in time, they were putting the J6ers that have been sentenced in general population, I never spent any time in the DC gulag, but in DC, I was there for 6 days and then they moved me to FDC Philly, where I was only supposed to be there for a couple weeks and ended up being stalled there for the duration, that place is a hellhole as well. And I say that, for 4 months that I slept next door to hell is what it amounts to, so.
And, I gotta admire not only what you've done with the ministry over the years, but the fact that you just, you stood for what is right, regardless of what the devil brought against you. And, we just pray that this will reach so many and touch their hearts. What a beautiful thing. Do you have any more questions, JD? I know you do.
Well, yeah, well, you know me, David, always.
And then I want to step on your feet.
Okay.
I got a couple more, but I want to hog the show.
Okay. Well, I want to say this first of all. Were you aware, or first of all, did anybody get on you while you were in prison and say, "Oh, well, you're here, you're stuck. You know, it's federal, and there's no parole out of federal, and all this kind of stuff." And were they telling you there's no hope? Trump is never coming back, and you're going to have to do this. And did you come to a point of acceptance or what?
Well, I did have, I had folks that obviously that was hoping that President Trump would not come through. They were hoping they wouldn't win the presidency. They were hoping that once he won the presidency, that that he would not follow through with the commutations or the pardons. Some of them were the inmates. The inmates, some of them would have gladly seen that we would have had to have endured, for the duration of the sentence. Some of them were the COs. Most of the COs kept their, their opinions to themselves, in FDC Philly, where I was at, that the inmates that were in there over time, it probably took me 2 months to be able to begin to really make inroads with them, the ones that had been there for 4 years or 16 months or whatever. It took a little while to build inroads with them, but eventually we did through consistency of allowing the love of Christ to continue to shine in my life and not lose hope and continue to stay encouraged in the faith. And they eventually came to me, and as they heard my story, and they heard that, that I was a J6er, and that I was on the east side, and that, that I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and calling sin for sin, what it was, and so on. And they looked at me, and they said, and they would call me preacher. They would say, preacher, you don't belong in here. What in the world has become of our country that that they would lock you up and put you in here? And they looked around, and at the general population in there and on the block that I was on, and they said, we have all broke the laws. We're criminals in here, and many of us really deserve to be in here, but you don't. And we're pulling for you, and we're hoping that President Trump does stay true to his word, that you're able to get out of here and to be with your family. And, and we were in lockdown when I got out. So they didn't get to see me get out, but I know that they were celebrating. In fact,
I bet you heard some banging and all that. I can only imagine. Yeah. But tell me real quick, and then David, it's your turn again. How did you find out that you had just been pardoned? How did that information come to you?
Well, the way it came was this, is that, as I alluded to, we've been locked down since Saturday morning at 9 a.m. you know, was not able to hear any of the TVs. Thankfully, I could see one TV that was the Hispanic TV, you know, and they watched the news. So I was able to monitor the inauguration. And my wife had told me on the phone that she had read an article by Terrence Evans, the Condemned USA. And in the article that he said that there was going to be commutations for all of the prisoners, all the hostages. And that we'll deal with pardons after, but the fourth executive order that they signed, President Trump is going to sign, is going to be for these commutations. So for 12 hours, I stood at the little door, the little window in the door with my body torqued to the point to be able to see the camera or see the TV, waiting on him to sign the executive orders. And finally, at 5 o'clock, just when they were bringing our trays to it, that I seen in just a clip of the day where the President Trump was in the Oval Office and had Speaker Johnson, J.D. Vance, and Melania was behind him, where he signed an executive order. And I thought to myself, he done it. All right, I'm going to be commuted. I'm getting
David, I said you can take over, but before you do, here's this. I just want, because this is something I wanted everybody to see. This is granting pardons and commutation of sentences for certain offenses relating to the events at or near the United States Capitol on January the 6th, 2021. This is out of the White House. And this is dated January the 20th of 2025 by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. This proclamation ends a grave national injustice that has been perpetuated upon the American people over the last 4 years and begins a process of national recognition. It goes on here to say, acting pursuant to the grant of authority in Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States, I do hereby A, commute the sentences of the following individuals convicted of offenses relating to the events and occurred at or near the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021 to time served as of January 20th, 2025. Now, it's got a bunch of names here, and I'll put this back up if you need.
It was 1,500, so don't read them all.
No. This is a very short list, David. That what you see on screen right there, those are the commuted sentences. Okay. Now, the next part of this order is B, to grant a full, complete, and unconditional pardon to all other individuals convicted of offenses related to events that occurred at or near the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. The Attorney General shall administer and effectuate the immediate issuance of certificates of pardon to all individuals described in Section B above, and shall ensure that all individuals convicted of offenses relating to events that occurred at or near the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021, who are currently held in prison or released immediately. The Bureau of Prisons shall immediately implement all instructions from the Department of Justice regarding this directive. I further direct the Attorney General to pursue dismissal with prejudice to the government of all pending indictments against individuals for their conduct related to the events at or near the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. The Bureau of Prisons shall immediately implement all instructions from the Department of Justice regarding this directive. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 20th day of January in the year of our Lord 2025, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 249th. So that was the official executive order. Do you have a copy of what he said you were going to get?
No, I do not. And, you know, that's the first I've actually read it in its entirety. You know, I obviously discovered that I received a full and unconditional pardon after I got out of D.C. Philly. They came in.
And you might notice that it says with prejudice, which in law language means they can never bring it up again.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, I done a happy dance. I done a happy dance right in my 12:15 a.m. when they come and said, hey, you're leaving. And I thought they were going to transfer me out because I was being transferred that morning. And finally they got me convinced that, no, you're leaving. Your family's in the parking lot and they're here to pick you up. The rest of the group processed, and you are the last one. get your stuff, you're leaving. And man, I done the happy dance, I'm shouting, and I haven't stopped smiling since, you know.
Or, you look 10 years younger.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that you can't eat much what they give you in there, so I needed to take some weight off. It came off of me pretty quick, you know. So,
nice. Lord, time to put it back on, bro.
Yeah, my wife enjoyed good meals together. She just made me a good meal, a cheeseburger and homemade french fries, the thing I've been craving with a lot of salt.
I'll tell you what, tell her to make you a birthday cake with a file in it. That would be funny.
Well, she's telling me that don't you ever get yourself in that situation ever again. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, what's the matter with you?
That was my last question for you. Would you do it again if they had the same situation?
Oh, 100%.
Here's the thing is that the reason I was there is because the Spirit of the Lord called me. I am a watchman on the wall. I do have a responsibility to say, thus saith the word of the Lord. And through it all, God has been faithful. The Lord has been faithful. He has, these 4 months of my lockdown in prison, it was just he and I. And what he has done in my heart and my spirit, it just transcends understanding for the average person. And so, so you know, here am I, Lord, send me. You know, your will be done and not mine. But I do pray that he sees fit never to lock me up. He sees to it that I get locked up.
Yeah. Listen, I'll do what you want. However, if I can make a suggestion.
Just keep me out of prison this time. Go ahead, David. It's all yours now, sir. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, sure it is. Okay, so I got this because we all know, and I know you as a man of God will take every opportunity, good, bad, and ugly, to preach the word. So how many men were you able to /save or help get their life straight while you were in there?
Well, three were born again. Three come to Jesus.
Nice.
One of them was soon to be 70. So he was snatched right out of the flames, you know, and he had the stench of hell on him, as did the others along the way. And three of them were born again, became a part of the nightly Bible studies. We had Bible study every night at 8 o'clock in my cell. And out of that, there was a total of about 5 to 6 others that would wander in occasionally to sit in on it. And, the temptations and the lures in prison form were great. And, keeping them there was difficult, but they would come in and out. And then one of the biggest things is that the Muslim presence, Islam in prison, I mean, it's a recruiting grounds. And, you know, and so every hour on the hour that call would go out for the Muslim prayer. And, but what began to happen is some of the individuals who were, part of the Muslim group, and for the most part, you know, it's obvious, it's out of convenience that they are, you know, as you're in prison, they came into my cell and, come in and say, got a question for you, and begin to talk to me about all spiritual concerning Jesus. So there's a lot of seeds that were sown. We've done something that had never occurred before, to my understanding, in FDC Philly or in detention centers. And Thanksgiving Day, we done community tables off of commissary. We put together 4 community tables where we put together a meal. And we brought all of the block together, and the New Beginnings Ministries in Warsaw funded, you know, the commissary food. And so we had different individuals make meals, come together, share the Thanksgiving dinner together. And at that point in time that the walls came down and relationships began to be built. So Christ was glorified in that place. And the gospel of Jesus Christ went. And there's 3 brothers in there right now that are committed to holding the Bible study and being salt and light for others as they come in, so that we just don't have to rely on the volunteer that come in sporadically to be able to hold a Monday night. That that they're in there studying the Bible. So, and I'm telling others about Jesus. So that's the highlight of it, that, you know, that I'm able to say.
What a beautiful thing. Ministry.
I have a sister church in FDC, Philly.
Nice. You know, and I can feel your heart right now. Was it all worth it? Is it going to be worth it in 1.7 million years when you're looking at those people and everyone else, they got saved and saying, yeah, that was worth a couple seconds in jail. Look at all the time we've got here in front of the Lord with my three brothers and then whoever else they get to lead to the Lord.
Amen. It's without a doubt, even sitting here right now, as difficult and as hard as it was, that we know that that the God is going to use it for the glory of the good to advance the kingdom of God. And those three men who have given their lives to Jesus Christ was worth every bit of it. As hard as it was for my wife, I'm convinced that she would say that, you know what, that for the sake of their eternal state, that it was worth it. And you know, and we know that God's not done yet. You know, that he still has a plan and a purpose, and he will be glorified, and we'll look back on this time in our life and say that you know, that the goodness of God is just remarkable. His mercies are renewed each and every day, and I thank him for them.
Amen. So I, you know, we also said that, you know, you have the last 2 minutes that you can lead people to Christ, but why don't you take the last 3.5 that we have? Pray for those people. We'll all agree with you for the young gentleman that you led to Christ in jail, and then tell people how they too can receive Christ.
All right. Well, the first thing I want everyone to know is this: is I just spent what I call four months next door to hell. And you know, when you stop to think about hell, it's a place of torment. It's a place to where it is that you know, that the lust and the passions of the individuals they've spent their lives where it is that they've given themselves over to addictions, to drugs, to lust, to porn, you name it, that will never ever be satisfied. And when I was in prison at FD Philly, I've seen what torment looks like on a very small scale. These guys get locked down and not able to get their drugs, not able to get their fix, and they would be in torment. They would beat on doors, they would rattle the doors, they would cry out, they would beg somebody to send them a line. And I just want to encourage individuals that don't know Jesus Christ that you don't want any part of it. You don't want any part. You want to stay as far away from hell as what you're able to. And the only way you can stay so far away from it that you're really, really safe is through the person of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. So I want to encourage you to just look to Jesus and put your faith and trust in him and allow him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And the way that we do that is we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for us. And God was kind enough not to leave him dead, but arose, caused him to rise again into newness of life. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father at this very moment. And the scripture tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it doesn't matter which side of the tracks you're on, doesn't matter what you've done in your life, doesn't matter how many months or years that you spent in prison. If you'll just turn your heart over to Jesus, confess that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, you too can be born again. And he says that he makes all things new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And in so doing, what you find is this, is that you don't need to give, you don't need to be concerned about what hell is going to be like at all for you individually, because Jesus has redeemed us from that fiery grave, from that fiery pit. And so I want to encourage you to put your faith and trust in him. There's no other way to heaven than through the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through the Son. And then pray for those individuals, that those three men that are in FDC Philly, that the body of Christ in FDC.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.